Chapter 65. The article for him, and the lovely woman that found him just the article for her, and they were going away on a trip, in their gallant bark, to look after their vines, with streamers flying at all points, a band playing on deck and Pa established in the great cabin. Now, John Harmon was consigned to his grave again, and a merchant of immense wealth, name unknown, had courted, and married the lovely woman, and he was so enormously rich, that everything you saw upon the river sailing or steaming belonged to him, and he kept a perfect fleet of yachts for pleasure, and that little impudent yacht which you saw over there, with the great white sail, was called the Bella, in honor of his wife. And she held her state aboard when it pleased her, like a modern Cleopatra. Anon, there would embark in that troop ship, when she got to Gravesend, a mighty general, of large property, name also unknown, who wouldn't hear of going to victory without his wife, and whose wife was the lovely woman, and she was destined to become the idol of all the red coats, and blue jackets alow and aloft. And then again, you saw that ship being towed out by a steam tug? Well, where did you suppose she was going to? She was going among the coral reefs, and cocoa nuts and all that sort of thing, and she was chartered for a fortunate individual of the name of Pa himself on board, and much respected by all hands, and she was going, for his sole profit and advantage, to fetch a cargo of sweet-smelling woods, the most beautiful that ever were seen, and the most profitable that ever were heard of, and her cargo would be a great fortune, as indeed it ought to be. The lovely woman who had purchased her, and fitted her expressly for this voyage, being married to an Indian prince, who was a something or other, and who wore cashmere shawls all over himself, and diamonds and emeralds blazing in his turban, and was beautifully coffee-colored and excessively devoted, though a little too jealous. Thus Bella ran on merrily, in a manner perfectly enchanting to Pa, who was as willing to put his head into the sultan's tub of water as the beggar boys below the window were to put their heads in the mud. "I suppose, my dear," said Pa after dinner, "we may come to the conclusion at home, that we have lost you for good?" Bella shook her head. "Didn't know. Couldn't say. All she was able to report was, that she was most handsomely supplied with everything she could possibly want, and that whenever she hinted at leaving Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, they wouldn't hear of it. And now, Pa," pursued Bella, "I'll make a confession to you. I am the most mercenary little wretch that ever lived in the world. I should hardly have thought it of you, my dear," returned her father, first glancing at himself, and then at the dessert. "I understand what you mean, Pa, but it's not that. It's not that I care for money to keep as money, but I do care so much for what it will buy. Really I think most of us do," returned R.W., "but not to the dreadful extent that I do, Pa." Oh, cried Bella, screwing the exclamation out of herself with a twist of her dimpled chin. "I am so mercenary." With a wistful glance R.W. said, in default of having anything better to say. "About when did you begin to feel it coming on, my dear?" "That's it, Pennsylvania, that's the terrible part of it. When I was at home, and only knew what it was to be poor, I grumbled but didn't so much mind. When I was at home expecting to be rich, I thought vaguely of all the great things I would do. But when I had been disappointed of my splendid fortune, and came to see it from day to day in other hands, and to have before my eyes what it could really do, then I became the mercenary little wretch I am. It's your fancy, my dear. I can assure you it's nothing of the sort, Pa." Said Bella, nodding at him, with her very pretty eyebrows raised as high as they would go, and looking comically frightened. "It's a fact. I am always avariciously scheming. Lore. But how? I'll tell you, Pa. I don't mind telling you, because we have always been favorites of each other's, and because you are not like a pa, but more like a sort of a younger brother with a dear venerable chubbiness on him. And besides, apostrophe added Bella, laughing as she pointed a rallying finger at his face, because I have got you in my power. This is a secret expedition. If ever you tell of me, I'll tell of you. I'll tell Ma, that you dined at Greenwich. Apostrophe, well, seriously, my dear, apostrophe observed R.W., with some trepidation of manner, it might be as well not to mention it. Apostrophe, aha. Apostrophe, apostrophe, laughed Bella. I knew you wouldn't like it, sir. So you keep my confidence, and I'll keep yours. But betray the lovely woman, and you shall find her a serpent. Now, you may give me a kiss, Pa, and I should like to give your hair a turn, because it has been dreadfully neglected in my absence. Apostrophe, R.W. submitted his head to the operator, and the operator went on talking, at the same time putting separate locks of his hair through a curious process of being smartly rolled over her two revolving forefingers, which were then suddenly pulled out of it in opposite lateral directions. On each of these occasions the patient winced and winked. I have made up my mind that I must have money, Pa. I feel that I can't beg it, borrow it, or steal it, and so I have resolved that I must marry it. Apostrophe, R.W. cast up his eyes towards her, as well as he could under the operating circumstances, and said in a tone of remonstrance, my dear Bella, apostrophe, apostrophe, have resolved, I say, Pa, that to get money I must marry money. In consequence of which, I am always looking out for money to captivate. Apostrophe, my dear Bella. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, Pa, that is the state of the case. If ever there was a mercenary plotter whose thoughts and designs were always in her mean occupation, I am the amiable creature. But I don't care. I hate and detest being poor, and I won't be poor if I can marry money. Now you are deliciously fluffy, Pa, and in a state to astonish the waiter and pay the bill. Apostrophe, but, my dear Bella, this is quite alarming at your age. Apostrophe, I told you so, Pa, but you wouldn't believe it, apostrophe returned Bella, with a pleasant childish gravity. Isn't it shocking? Apostrophe, it would be quite so, if you fully knew what you said, my dear, or meant it. Apostrophe, well, Pa, I can only tell you, that I mean nothing else. Talk to me of love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Bella, contemptuously. Though her face and figure certainly rendered the subject no incongruous one. Talk to me of fiery dragons. But talk to me of poverty and wealth, and there indeed we touch upon realities. Apostrophe, my dear, this is becoming awful apostrophe her father was emphatically beginning. When she stopped him. Pa, tell me. Did you marry money? Apostrophe, you know I didn't, my dear. Apostrophe, Bella hummed the dead march in Saul, and said, after all it signified very little. But seeing him look grave and downcast, she took him round the neck, and kissed him back to cheerfulness again. I didn't mean that last touch, Pa, it was only said in joke. Now mind, you are not to tell of me, and I'll not tell of you. And more than that, I promise to have no secrets from you, Pa, and you may make certain that, whatever mercenary things go on, I shall always tell you all about them in strict confidence. Apostrophe, fain to be satisfied with this concession from the lovely woman, R.W. rang the bell, and paid the bill. Now, all the rest of this, Pa, apostrophe said Bella, rolling up the purse, when they were alone again, hammering it small with her little fist on the table, and cramming it into one of the pockets of his new waistcoat, is for you, to buy presents with for them at home, and to pay bills with, and to divide as you like, and spend exactly as you think proper. Last of all take notice, Pa, that it's not the fruit of any avaricious scheme. Perhaps if it was, your little mercenary wretch of a daughter wouldn't make so free with it. apostrophe apostrophe, after which she tugged at his coat with both hands and pulled him all askew in buttoning that garment over the precious waistcoat pocket, and then tied her dimples into her bonnet strings in a very knowing way, and took him back to London. Arrived at Mr. Boffin's door, she set him with his back against it, tenderly took him by the ears as convenient handles for her purpose, and kissed him until he knocked muffled double knocks at the door with the back of his head. That done, she once more reminded him of their compact and gaily parted from him. Not so gaily, however, but that tears filled her eyes as he went away down the dark street. Not so gaily, but that she several times said, "Ah, poor little Pa! Ah, poor dear struggling shabby little Pa!" Apostrophe apostrophe before she took heart to knock at the door. Not so gaily, but that the brilliant furniture seemed to stare her out of countenance, as if it insisted on being compared with the dingy furniture at home. Not so gaily, but that she fell into very low spirits sitting late in her own room, and very heartily wept, as she wished, now that the deceased old John Harmon had never made a will about her, now that the deceased young John Harmon had lived to marry her. Contradictory things to wish, apostrophe said Bella, but my life and fortunes are so contradictory altogether, that what can I expect myself to be? Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.